Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. Pull up a chair and kick up your feet as you get ready to enjoy some of the industry's most entertaining and actionable Dynasty content on the planet. We're talking veterans, rookies, sleepers, and oh yeah, you know the crew has those dad jokes ready for you. So let's not wait any longer and bring on the host or some combination of Doug and Tyler.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It's wide receiver week. Everybody's talking about this class. Is it the GOAT class? We'll see. Time will tell. But it is deep. It is big. That's what she said. Tyler, how the hell are you this week?
I'm good. Spring break is over. We had spring break last week. And
no, we have it next week.
Now it is just back to the norm. Trying to get back to working out. You know, got to get that summer body in. Summer dad bod. Got to get out of the one
dad
piece.
Dad bods
and get
are in. Chicks are like, you know, they don't want shredded. They don't want muscles. They're like, do you do things around the house? And are you a good person? And, you know, you can have a little bit of cuddleness with you and it's good to go.
I'm shredded like shredded beef.
I'm like shredded cheese.
Shredded cheese. That's so much better. Damn it. I'm more like feta cheese.
Ew. I mean, I like feta cheese, but like... Yeah, at least you're not cottage cheese, because then you'd just be lumpy and disgusting.
Cottage cheese is, you know, it depends on how you eat it.
I do not. Just the sight of cottage cheese skeeves me out. I can't. My wife's like, can you get some cottage cheese at the grocery store? And I'm like, if I have
probably
to.
Like, nope.
I was like, I'll get it, because I don't. It's just a container. I'm not opening it and looking at it. So it's like, fine.
It's kind of
like.
And
she eats it, and I'm like, oh.
It's kind of like tomatoes with me. If I have to go on like a tomato. If I have to go on a tomato run. I'm leaving the house and I'm burning it.
There's nothing more disgusting than a tomato.
What's the point of it?
The texture's bad. It's mealy. It's just the taste isn't great. I'm not a ketchup fan. Like, I'll eat ketchup if it's there. Like, but I don't go looking for ketchup. I'm a mayo guy. I know that could irk some people, but whatever. I'm here for it. So yeah.
All right.
Enough condiment talk.
Yes.
Yeah. We do have a little bit of news this week, but before we roll into that, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor today, Underdog Fantasy. It's amazing. Underdog, we just got through the NCAA Women's and Men's Championships. Shout out to South Carolina and Connecticut, respectively, for their titles. And you could have gone on and done a bunch of different prop bets on there, but we still have basketball season and hockey are just about to roll into the playoffs, the end of the regular season. They got like 4 or 5 games left, it looks like. On their schedule. Baseball just started. Yawn. Everyone's blowing out their elbows. It's great for the game. So love to see it. Everyone's blaming the pitch clock. Whatever. Do you remember when Nolan Ryan pitched and he'd pitch like 300 innings a year and like only had an elbow injury at the end of his career when he was like 46 years old?
Yeah.
Have those men gone?
The issue is, I think it's the Philadelphia people, because I heard a Tommy John. That's it. That's all I got tonight. Tommy Johns.
That was more like Tommy Yawn, to be honest.
Tommy Johns.
You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist person, but anytime like the old school people, I blame the preservatives and the crap we put in our food. There you go.
So apparently, I heard this on McAfee. Apparently, Dr. James Andrews, who does Tommy John surgeries,
he's kind of
said.
Famous.
Said it's because of the high schoolers trying to throw very hard and the parents like pushing all
these
camps.
Sports parents are the worst.
And apparently Dr. Andrews said that a lot of the surgeries used to be professional players. Now it's a lot of high school players that
they're actually because they're better when they come back. So they actually, I've heard some kids are like, oh, I tear it when I'm 18. I'll come back stronger. Then I don't have to worry about it. So
yeah,
it's very rare that you do it twice.
It's like Adrian Peterson came back off the ACL.
Hopefully Cam Akers can do that.
That's an Achilles.
I know.
But
I know.
Also, Cam Akers is not a robot like Adrian Peterson
is.
I was talking about that in a league chat because somebody put like 8 contract years on Adrian Peterson at like 27 years old. And I was like, this is not smart. And then we're all like, wait.
He played like 6 of them out, I think.
We're like, he's a robot anyways, so it's not like it matters.
And apparently he's a broke robot, so about that. Anywho.
Yeah. He's won the play.
Yeah. So I just remember like growing up, the guys that would pitch 300 innings and they were absolute workhorses. They'd actually throw complete games. Now it's not a thing because baseball's completely changed. So yeah. Anywho, So baseball is on Underdog as well. And when you use code DHH, you will get up to $100 matched right away. Put in 50, get 50, 75, 75. You can do the math. This is pretty easy here. So check out Underdog Fantasy. Also, they're going to be doing some best ball tournaments if they haven't already started. I'm pretty sure they probably have. Best Ball Mania 6 or however many it is. The biggest fantasy football competition in the world is hosted on Underdog. So you can get a piece of that as well. Once again, code DHH on Underdog Fantasy in your iTunes store or your Google Play store or just on the regular old internet. Let's get into some news. It is the dead period of the NFL. There's not a lot going on, but we did see a big trade. We saw smoke for the last few months, to be honest, that Stephon Diggs might be on the move. The diva receiver, him and Josh Allen chirping at each other. Stephon Diggs not super happy. You know, we saw Khalil Shakir outperform him in the last 6 weeks of the season. Gabe Davis is gone. And now Stephon Diggs is gone. They have traded him to the Houston Texans, who are absolutely doing it right. They're loading up around a rookie quarterback contract. So they now have Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell. They re-signed Dalton Schultz. They signed Joe Mixon for 3 years. They'll probably draft a running back in the draft. They have a cornerstone left tackle in Gas Mask Tunsil. They've got all the things going on. They've got Danielle Hunter on defense, Will Anderson. Texans to the moon, right? If you're going to knock off Mahomes, this is how you do it. So I'm excited for C.J. Stroud, who on Keep Trade Cut is now the quarterback one in Dynasty. Let's slow down a little bit on that. But Stephon Diggs, let's start there. He was traded for a second-round pick next year that was the Vikings pick, so it'll probably be a high one. Sorry, Tyler.
Hey, and then Sam Darnold.
And then some other ancillary picks that really don't matter. Yeah. So let's first start with Buffalo. Josh Allen was the QB1 last year. He now loses his best player on offense, in my opinion. They are pretty much a slam dunk to take a receiver in the first round. Do you think they're going to move up to get a guy, or are they going to stick where they are in the late 20s?
So I was thinking it, and I mentioned it in a couple league chats about them trading up, and everybody's like, oh, no way, they can't. People don't remember Atlanta Falcons trading up to get Julio Jones, and everybody mm-hmm. thought it was nuts. They went from in the 20s to 6 to take Julio Jones. Yeah. Now, that paid off, because a lot of those picks did not pan out. And that's yep. what the Bills have to look at. If they do this trade, because I'm guessing Chicago would be the team to get, you know, or Atlanta even, and they'd have to give up a first next year, but they would get a Rome. Because I don't know if Malik will be there. Maybe Rome's taken first and they get Malik, which would be nuts. Like, that would be crazy. We'll talk about Malik and Rome. But yep. Let's not forget, the last time Stephon Diggs got traded, everybody's like, what are you doing, Minnesota? This is crazy. They got Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
And Justin Jefferson was in 21st, 22nd overall pick.
Right, so after the GOAT, Jalen Reagor.
Buffalo, everybody's panicking and panic selling on Josh Allen. Let's just hold the horses. Josh Allen's going to be just fine. They will find a replacement. And also, if you haven't looked in your league for free agency, go look for Justin Shorter, who is a speed size freak athlete. I'm not talking about replacing Stephon Diggs. I'm talking about replacing Gabe Davis.
I'm just getting on the field in general in a good offense.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, because he's a very high five-star recruit that went to Penn State, then transferred to Florida. He's a very talented player. He's huge. He's just, you know, he took a little time. My thing with him is, if he can replace Gabe Davis, like 75-80% of Gabe Davis, which I think he's physically gifted to do,
he'll have 3 good weeks in your fantasy season.
Yes, but you will be able to trade him right away. So
yes, you will.
I like you said, I think they're gonna definitely draft a receiver. I do think they will trade up, and personally, one of the receivers, like if it's a Brian Thomas that they got their eyes on, they might have to trade up, because the run on receiver could come very early, and earlier than expected.
Yeah. And it could be a lot like last year, where we see like three or four picks in a row all at wide receiver. I think it's going to happen earlier than that. Obviously, it's a totally different class.
Like, and we'll 9, talk about 10, that. 11. Like, once Rome goes, I think people are going to start being like, oh crap, like we need to go up and get some.
And even if they do draft a receiver, I mean, Buffalo's wide receiver depth chart is, I mean, even if they bring in a rookie to play right away, I think this is, you know, it's even more of a wheels up for Dalton Kincaid and mix in some Dawson Knox. I think his value went up a little bit because it was pretty low, to be honest, on Knox. A lot of people are off him, but he's still making big money to be there. They're going to use a lot of two tight end sets. And, you know, when you talked about shorter, one of the things that I saw in, I think, at least three leagues that I was in, I was able to pick up Khalil Shakir in early in the season, because I took a look at the free agents and I'm like, all right, who's – I always kind of look through and scroll through the names to see if there's anyone that sticks out to me. And if there's someone that is on a good offense, like the Bills or the Rams or – you know, any of the Lions, anyone that's on those depth charts, and I have room for them on a roster, I'll pick them up, because you never know. And I really like Khalil Shakir. You know, J.J. Zacharyson was a big Shakir guy when he was coming out, and he kind of put him on the map for me. He liked him a lot. So I already had him in a couple of leagues on my taxi, but I was able to pick him up in a couple of industry leagues. And now I'm happy that I did that, because Shakir, like I said, he outperforms Stephon Diggs. It looks like he has Josh Allen's trust. He could be a really nice slot option in that offense. And I think he can play a little bit on the outside too. I think he has the quickness to do it. So, I mean, that's looking like a free square. Like, I picked him up for free, and if he has a good season, I can probably sell him off for a second round pick.
Yep. And when you're looking at rookie receivers that they need to draft, they need a guy like Rome. They need size, because they got Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, that Justin Shorter's got the size, but he's unproven. Yeah, they got a lot shorter guys. So, but yeah, they're primed to take somebody in one of these bigger, like, hopefully it's not Adonai Mitchell, but
yeah, I know. And then James Cook too, way more active in the passing game at the end of the season. So I think we're going to see that trend stay in the Joe Brady offense. And that's one of the things I like about them bringing in Curtis Samuel, is that he was with Joe Brady in Carolina when Samuel had his best fantasy season. And I've always liked Curtis Samuel. I still have him on the bottom of my rosters in some leagues. So to get any kind of increase in value was nice for him.
Oh, they paid him too.
They did. It's his second big contract that he's gotten as a free agent. So good for him. On the other side of the ball, Houston Texans, loaded. You know, having Nico and Tank there was great. You bring Diggs in, and I think it messes with people's values a little bit.
Go buy Tank. Go buy all the Tank.
I'd say go buy all the Nico too. You know, they restructured Diggs' deal. He's only going to be there for 1 year, so I'm not worried about the long-term implications of Tank. He'll obviously be on his second year of his rookie deal. Nico's coming up for free agency soon. I think that if he has another great year like he did last year, they'll probably end up paying him, and Stephon Diggs will be out of the picture. Maybe they draft a receiver that they can redshirt this year. They get a guy in like the third or fourth round that they really like, and maybe he doesn't touch the field. Maybe Xavier Hutchinson becomes a thing. I don't know. They drafted him last year, and I know a lot of people like him. I think Robert Woods is still on that team too.
They got Mechie,
yeah. So, I mean, they've got a lot of talent at pass catcher. Let's react a little bit to CJ Stroud as your QB1 in Dynasty. Like,
no.
Calm down.
So, everything I've seen, the rational people on X I've seen is so true.
Wait a minute. There's rational people on X?
Yes, and they came out to defend this. Like, everybody's like, oh, first of all, don't use KTC as a value.
I don't like it either.
It's literally crowd-based value, and it's recency bias extreme. Like, give 100%. Me DTC nerds and DLF. Give me those value kind of crunchers over anything. But, yeah, CJ Stroud, he's going to have the passing numbers. He could have 5,000 yards passing, but he needs like 45 touchdowns to be in the top three.
Because he doesn't scramble.
Yeah, he doesn't use his legs. And Josh Allen is going to, like, I think losing Diggs is going to be kind of what it was for Baker without Odell. Remember when Odell was there and Baker even came out and said he felt like he had to target Odell even when he wasn't open. Otherwise, he would get yelled at. And that's kind of with Diggs. Like, you saw that. Diggs got pissed. And it happened in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins. This, honestly, and I still feel this way, I think Diggs is losing a step. He may be okay. I think he needs to
move. He's good in the short to medium, but his long game, like, he wasn't tracking the ball. His hands on deep balls last year were not good. I would say he's on the back nine of his career.
Yeah, he's turning into a slot-only 30-year-old receiver.
Which, on Houston, that would work.
But Dalton Schultz is there, which CJ Stroud is comfortable with. I think Diggs is fine, but with him on Houston, I think right now is your time to capitalize. Like, yeah, he could have one, maybe two more years if he resigns, but I think this is your best opportunity to get rid of Diggs. And right now, do you think Diggs is probably worth in rookie picks? Let's go super flex.
I would say an early second.
Okay. like, if you're contending, I'm comfortable with the 109 if you're contending, because that's Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey. Sure. But if you're not contending and you're kind of in the middle, just hang on to it. Just do your thing. Diggs will be, I think, at best a wide receiver 3 for you. And there's going to be some weeks where Tank Dell is getting it, Nico's getting it, and you're going to be frustrated.
There's going to be some 4 for 48 weeks out of Diggs, I feel.
Yes. But, you know, in Dynasty, that's not bad.
It's okay. It's all right. Before we move on to the meat and potatoes of this episode.
I'm hungry.
I'm always, you know what? I have a heavy gym day. Like, I lifted pretty heavy today. I get these spurts of just like, I want to eat everything in the house and I try not to. And it's not always good food because, you know, I work out to.
First of all, don't body shame Jim.
Right. I work out not to get like shredded and buff, but I work out to like look a little bit better, but maintain because I like my not so healthy eating habits because I like food.
When you're as old as us, that's what you do in the gym. You don't do it to look good anymore.
No, I do it not to gain weight.
Yes, there it is.
100%. So yeah, I'm maintaining, which is good. And I'm happy with that. Like, I'm in the best shape of my life. Things are good. I'm not complaining. But I get these urges of like, I just want to go in the pantry and eat. So I try to shake them off by drinking water. Yeah. It's all about being mature,
which sucks. Cause I just want a bag of chips.
Yeah. And you know what doesn't suck? It's Trophy Smack. They are the best in the business with trophies. They've got belts. They've got gangster grills. If you're a big fan of Paul Wall, or if you're, you know, down in the dirty South and that's, you want to have a unique trophy of sorts, you can do all those things. And
don't share it though.
True. When you use code DHH ring, you will get a free $60 championship ring for free when you buy a belt or a trophy. They also have stuff for the losers in your league, all sorts of really unique things. You want to get a Borat bikini for your boys, and he can wear it at Waffle House where he has to eat a waffle, that whole challenge thing, which is kind of fun. I feel like I wouldn't be there long because I feel like I could pound some waffles.
Well, and if you're in that bikini eating waffles, I feel like there's going to be some slips.
Yeah, I mean, at least the bikini's flexible, so if you eat a lot of waffles and your belly expands, like, you're going to be good.
That's true.
So, you know, you got to think ahead.
Science. You
know, work smarter, not harder, as they say. So check out TrophySmack.com today. All your trophy needs. Absolutely awesome site run by an absolutely awesome team. Backed by Shark Tank and Mark Cuban. Code DHHRING at checkout. Please and thank you in advance. All right. Let's move on to this wide receiver class because it is the funnest part of this draft. Let's be honest. We are going to see a record amount of wide receivers drafted this year. I'm confident in that. And it's going to be a lot. There's already a lot of wide receiver talent in the NFL, and it's only about to get deeper. And we've got the top three guys. Really, in any other class, each of these guys would be the wide receiver one.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty easy to say between Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State, Malik Nabers from LSU, and Rome Odunze from Washington. They all have very different games. You know, Marv, everyone is there. We throw around the generational talent. We did it with Saquon. We've done it with some other players in the past. But Marv, from the professional scouts, are like, he's the best guy I've scouted since Megatron. Obviously, the lineage, his dad, Hall of Famer from the Colts. He's bigger than his dad. He might be better than his dad. We'll see. I was just thinking about that today. How wild would it be, like a father and son combo in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, I heard it the other day. Like,
I mean, I'm putting the cart way before the horse.
Yeah, you got Marv, who is legit 6'4", and the senior was 5'11".
Yeah.
Marv is 216 pounds. Senior was like 185 pounds.
Yeah.
So we're looking at a completely different monster with the same mental aspect as his dad.
Yeah, he's a special talent.
Now, I think I would say, like, we had Jamar Chase as labeled as, like, he's legit, he's the next one. Mm-hmm. Marv, since he came into college, was the dude. Like, this was a guy where we're sitting here saying to ourselves, we need 2024 rookie picks, and we need
and
to,
he,
like...
And he produced with these Chris Olave, Jackson Smith and Jigba, like, yeah. Garrett Wilson...
Yeah, it's crazy. And he's getting coached by one of the best coaches for receivers in Brian Harstead at Ohio State. Like, that's the guy you want.
Yeah.
Heartline, yeah. You want to
go. I'm so old, I had him on fantasy teams when he was a Dolphin.
I did too.
Brown.
I did too. UDPL, I think first year I had him on the roster. But yeah, this is the type of talent that you look at and you are happy you have the pick. Like, mm-hmm. if you have an opportunity to get him, now is the cheapest. Like, that's what we're looking at. And it was same with Bijan. It's going to be same with Caleb and Superflex. But with Marv, this is the cheapest you're going to get him. And if it wasn't for Caleb, we're looking at a wide receiver over very talented quarterback still.
Yeah, Marv, the thing with Marv is, you know, it's going to be interesting where his landing spot is. I think he's either going to go pair up with Kyler Murray or it could be Justin Herbert, and I'm a fan of both of those.
Yeah.
I know everyone's Harbaugh, they're going to run the crap out of the ball. Oh, if he's got Justin Herbert at quarterback, like, the targets are going to be there, the quarterback talent's there. Like, he's already going to be a top five dynasty receiver without even touching the field. And then after this year, I mean, if he comes out and has a massive rookie year, he could be your wide receiver one in dynasty.
He will
I
be.
I believe that. Like, yeah, that's 100%.
Yeah.
Talking about Marv's tape, I know the only people that dog Marv is about, like, his, you know, long play, separation, kind of like a little Mike Evans to his game. Like, he is not going to get a lot of run and catch, but he has the ability to do so. So I'm not really too worried about that. And I know there's been this debate around, like, NFL scouts might rank Neighbors ahead of Marv. And that's based on system. Like, Neighbors is the twitchier athlete. He's got more of the explosiveness that Marv doesn't. But it's not like Marv doesn't have it at all. So I think they're just a very different kind of wide receiver. When I'm watching Marv, one of the first things that I noticed was the way that he is a technician. And not just with his feet. He has great footwork, but watch his hands. He uses a lot of the same moves that offensive linemen use, like a rip and a swim move, at the line of scrimmage to gain separation. And he's one of the only receivers in this class that I saw do that. Guys like Neighbors and Adunze, they set guys up with their feet. Marv will use his feet and his hands. He's using his whole body to get separation. He has – the way that he runs routes is like he's an NFL veteran. That he's been there for years, and that is going to translate day one against NFL cornerbacks. So I have no worries whatsoever that Marv is going to be able to produce bigly in year one. And that was one of the things that stuck out to me with his tape. That the footwork is great along the sideline. The hands are clean. Like, he's just a super clean prospect. But the way that he uses those hands to rip and move, no one else does it in this class. And it's one of the things that you'll see out of the very best wide receivers. Jamar Chase does a really good job of it. Jefferson does too, in the NFL. So for me, Marv, that was the biggest thing that stuck out at me. Because, you know, I watch tape a little bit differently than everyone. I try to watch the nuance. I'm not watching – when I watch football, I don't watch who has the football in their hand. I'm kind of watching everything else. And I watch individual players – the same way. I'm looking for the nuance type of stuff versus like the just sweeping generalities of watching tapes. But that's what stuck out to me on Marv. Tyler, what do you got on Marv that you saw?
I think with this draft cycle, we're getting into like the boring or fake news. And I think we're just bored with Marvin Harrison and how good he is.
It's like Brock Bowers.
He's a lot like AJ Green. He's not going to wow you, but he's a 4.4 player. He's been clocked in, I think, at over 22 miles an hour on the field during college. So he's plenty fast. His routes are spectacular for being 6'4". He runs routes like a 5'11 player. He's got the wingspan of a pterodactyl. Like, this is an elite talent. And I get if you like Neighbors and stuff, that's fine. But Marv, like, just don't overthink it. He is that dude. He's got strong hands. Yeah. And every time I've seen him, like you said, it seems like whenever, because I mean, what is it? McCord, that played quarterback for Ohio State.
He's not very good.
He's not good. That was my first when
there was some balls that were thrown behind Marv that were off target. Like,
and you could tell Marv started being like, okay, man, like, I'm open all the time, and you can't even hit me on a slant route. Like, that's how bad it was. So I think Marv is a slam dunk wide receiver one. Mm-hmm. And I get these other two aren't too far behind, but Marv, I think Marv to me is a clean prospect. He's probably the best prospect I've seen since Kelvin, and nobody will be better than Kelvin. I know I told you that on when we're playing.
Tough.
Like, Kelvin, big, fast, strong, technician, nuance, like, he had everything. Mm-hmm. Marv, if he had probably a little bit more speed and like 20
some
pounds
weight.
More muscle, that would be Kelvin. But this is a guy that I think is, when you draft him, you've got, I think safety with his value, even if he has like only 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns, I think his value is safe.
Only, yeah.
I know that. That's honestly, yeah. I was trying to like dock it because I'm sitting here like, okay, what's a bad season? He's going to be the one for a team. And that's also another plus. All three of these guys, except maybe the third guy, if it's Romer Neighbors, they're going to be the one on a team. If it's the Cardinals, Chargers, the Giants, like they're going to be the one. So I love Marv. He's so good.
Yep, and I think this is a great year. You know, kind of like in the years when Chase and Pitts were in the draft, a lot of people picked Pitts early. I was able to get Chase at the 105, and I think Neighbors is going to be that guy this year. If you have the 105, like I have in the UDPL, I think there's probably going to be three quarterbacks and Marvin Harrison Jr. off the board. And then I'm going to be sitting at the 105 with my choice of either Malik Neighbors or Brock Bowers. It is a great, great year for the depth if you're in that spot. So I'm looking forward to that. But Malik Neighbors, a very different prospect than Marv. I think my only concerns with Neighbors, obviously the juice is there. We saw it at the pro day. You know, Marv doesn't have any testing. He didn't do anything. He's like, I'm Marvin Harrison Jr., bitch. Like, my tape is good. We don't need to do anything. Neighbors ran fast, looked good at the pro day. My only concern with Neighbors is I know he did most of his damage out of the slot for LSU. I think he can play on the outside. I'm not really worried about, like, you know, to me, he's like a Justin Jefferson, very similar in size, you know, maybe even a little bit faster than Jay Jettas.
Oh, he's definitely more explosive. Jefferson is smooth. True. Neighbors is just like in your face, boom, boom.
Yeah, I think if Neighbors goes to a team that can use him all over the field will be the best fit for him. And move him kind of like how the Cowboys did with CeeDee Lamb this year, put him in the slot, move him outside, move him around, get him in motion, like make it a game, and Neighbors can do all that. So for me, I think the ceiling from a fantasy perspective might be a little bit higher with Malik than Marv. And that's okay. You know, I don't think I would still take Marv as the wide receiver one, but there may be seasons where Neighbors has a better year than Marv, and that's okay. I think that Marv has the game that will translate longer over time than Neighbors possibly does. So don't be surprised if Neighbors comes out and has a better season, and then you're like, I shouldn't have taken Marvin Harrison. Like, no, you should have taken Marvin Harrison. You're fine.
Yeah, you were talking about a team that kind of moves him around. I know people don't want this landing spot. I think the Giants would use him everywhere. Dable would use him like he did with Diggs.
Well, Dable's smart.
Yeah, I think that the Giants, and they're going to hyper-target him because they got nobody else. They got Jalen Hyatt.
Wandale.
They got Wandale in the slot. They can move Jalen Hyatt a little bit. Hyatt on the outside just running 9 routes and getting open. But yeah, like Malik on the Giants would be a great fit. On Arizona, give me Marv because Kyler's just going to hyper-target the crap out of him. Yeah. But yeah, Neighbors is, you know, the first thing you see with Neighbors.
Neighbors
could
go to the Chargers too.
Yeah, Neighbors off the line, it's like, see ya. He goes 0 to 100 in a split second.
And yeah, his acceleration is great.
That's his bread and butter. Like, he ran a 4.45 at his pro day. You add 0.05 to that.
He ran like a 4.38 and a 4.45, right, or something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that. So
He was in the high 4.3s, low 4.4s.
I mean, if you watch his tape, he's like a 4.4 flat, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very good. And if you don't get Marv, he is one of the best consolation prizes I've ever seen. And honestly, as I get, people are like, okay, these three should be lumped together. It should be 1A, B, and C. I would say Marv, tier break, Neighbors, tier break, Rome. So I think it's clear as day to me. We'll talk about Rome here soon. But Neighbors' explosiveness is insane. Like, he's going to be – like, he's Jamar Chase, but – can he translate like Jamar Chase? Can he catch a ball without a stripe on it?
I don't know.
Can he play in the big city? Will Giants take him?
What if he has drops this summer, Tyler? Should we be scared?
I'm buying.
What if he's only a slot receiver, Tyler? Like Justin Jefferson? What
like
are we
Justin
Jefferson.
Do? Oh, here we go. BC Johnson's ahead of him.
Oh no.
That is a name to remember.
Yeah. So no, Neighbors is a great prospect. Again, he would be the wide receiver one in any other class pretty easily. Yeah. So we are blessed by this class. I mean,
last year he would have been far and away the wide receiver one ahead of JSN.
God, yeah.
And I still love JSN, and he would have been easily the 101 at receiver.
Yep. Let's talk a little bit about Rome Odunze coming out of that Washington pass happy offense with Michael Penix, who probably throws the best deep ball of anyone in this draft.
He's got a pretty ball.
He does.
Lost the other one.
Rome reminds me of like a more explosive version of Mike Evans. You know, recently Matt Harmon put out his reception perception, and he was the first prospect to go all green route tree. No one's ever done it before. Rome Odunze has. He's got the work ethic. You saw him staying behind at the combine trying to get his three-cone drill down right because he kept nicking a cone, and he didn't leave until he did it. I love that about him. You know, there was that story about him, like, getting injured, and then he couldn't fly, so he drove, like, an absurd amount of miles.
12 hours, I think it was.
Yeah, so I love that. But it reminds me of Jacoby Brissett. Like, Jacoby Brissett in college would drive to, like, games and stuff. Like, he's just he loves his team. He loves football that much. So, for me, Rome, I love that. And, you know, you're looking at probably drafting Rome somewhere in the 106, 107 range, maybe 108 if a McCarthy gets picked in the top 10, which he probably will. And again, it's a great class. If you're in a 10-team league and you've got the 107, like, okay, you finished in third or fourth place and you're going to add a cornerstone dynasty piece to your team. And you got to love that. So I think Rome, you know, I think he goes probably, I don't think he goes anything later than 9 to Chicago.
Yeah. If he goes 9, who's 10? The Jets.
Bowers.
The Jets.
I've seen Bowers getting mocked there a ton, and they need pass catchers.
Like, Rome could go there because they need another weapon next to
the Jets.
Wilson
could scoot up a pick.
That's true.
You know, it wouldn't cost a bunch to move up a pick. I mean, they have a small window. It looks like they're going after it with some of their signings. So.
I think if the Bear, because Pace loves his draft picks, and he only has like 4 or 3. I easily could see them moving back to 9, and I think that number 9 is the spot. Atlanta could be like, okay, you know, we're not sold on Turner. We could easily move back, get some picks ourselves.
Take Jared Verse. Yeah,
they can move back. They're another team that could be like, hey, Bears, we have a pick before you. We could easily get more picks. But, yeah, it's 8 or 9 where I think Rome is probably capped at, and that's – like, the Giants could take Rome with, honestly, the Malik Nabers news, I know it's fake news, could scare New York a
little
bit.
I mean, they could think Rome is a better fit for their offense because they already have, you know, some slot-type guys. Maybe they believe in Wandale, and they go with the bigger outside receiver to make up for their Kenny Golladay sighting.
Yeah, they have, like, 5 slot receivers on that.
They really do. But they also might have a retiring Darren Waller. So,
Brock Bowers.
I'm fine with it if he retires. I'm all about Daniel Bellinger, by the way.
So the thing with Rome, what you see on tape is sideline catches and his hands. Like, him and Marv easily have the strongest hands
in
this class.
His strength at the catch point is
ridiculous. Like, it's nuts. Yeah. He's not going to, like, wow you an insane amount with his speed. He ran a 4.4, so he's fine. Like, his speed is just fine. He proved that. So I don't think we got to worry about speed. Hands are great. He's not a body catcher. Like, there's times when he baskets a little bit, but who doesn't?
True.
Like, Tyreek does. Tyreek literally, his high point of the ball, he jumps so damn high, he can basket contested catches. But, like, Rome is good in every aspect. He's not, I don't think he's a master at one, but he's very good.
He's pretty damn good
at
everything.
Yes. Yeah. And to me, it's like DeAndre Hopkins. Like, it does, like, you look at it, and it's not very, wow, look at this. But it's just good. Like, he's so good everywhere on the field.
Yeah, he never looks like the fastest guy on the field, but he's always getting open.
Yep, and he's one of those guys. Like, if you – like, I'm a massive fan of Julio Jones. When he played with Atlanta and he was on the field, he was the guy you're watching. You're not watching Matt Ryan throw him the ball. You're literally watching Julio Jones the whole time because you know – 50-70% of the time he's getting the ball thrown to him, and you just want to see him do his thing. And that's what Rome did. When I was watching the tape, there are some Penix throws where, like, damn, like, Penix is great, but most of the time I'm just captivated by what Rome is doing off the field. Like,
Rome
blocks
Penix out a bit
and,
too.
And he blocks. Like, he looks for the block, and that's what I like to see. Maybe he's a little Brandon Ayuk in him.
Yeah, I was just thinking that was this thing when you say looks for the block is Ayuk. It reminds me of or Noah Brown, if you will.
I mean, way talented, but like Ayuk could be his ceiling.
No, Noah
and
Brown's a great block.
That's great. Like, if Ayuk's a ceiling, give me that.
Yeah, I think one of the things if Odunze goes to the Bears, you just have to draft him and say to yourself, like, all right, he might not be a hyper producer in year one because they have DJ Moore. They traded for Keenan Allen. He's going to be there at least for a year. They have Cole Kmet. They have other pass catchers there. So if you draft Roman, that might help him slip in drafts to that 108 to you, because people might be like, all right, they're going to take Bowers. They're going to take JJ in front of him. And maybe Adunze is there at the 108 because everybody wants like the immediate production now from rookies. They don't want to put him on their taxi squad. They want to start him right away, which, hey, more power to you. I'm here for the long game. So for me, like if I'm sitting at 108 in a league, and if Roma Dunze is there for me, I'm going to be like, boop.
Yeah, it draft. Depends on what 107 does. That's the thing.
Shut up, Tyler.
But like, it, honestly, going back to that, if you have a choice between Bowers, we'll get to Bowers later, or yeah. Rome, I don't think there's a wrong pick. Like, that's no. How good this class is. And
yeah, it's a coin flip.
And even if you want to take, I know you're not a JJ guy, if he lands in the right situation, which personally, I think Minnesota wants Drake May. We're just going to throw that out there. If he doesn't land there and goes to the Broncos with Sean Payton's dumbass being aggro all the time, I think your choices at 107, 108, like if you're at 108, great. Like you're sitting there probably because JJ might go earlier. Mm-hmm. Rome and Bowers could be the perfect pick and you don't have to decide. But this is such a good draft at the top eight. Like last year, I think we had 105, 106 as the break. But yeah. This year it's 108 and, you know, maybe 109 if you like this next player.
Yeah, it could be 109. You know, Brian Thomas Jr. has a massive year, 17 touchdowns at LSU. Then he blows up the pro day, 4.34 at his size. Like he's a tall boy. He reminds me, you know, he's built kind of like T. Higgins, but faster. You know, he reminds me of DJ Chark, another LSU receiver. I see that comp a lot and I can see that. I think he's probably going to be better than DJ Chark. At least I'm hoping.
I sure hope so.
You know, there are some concerns. You know, I've seen some analysts compare him to the route tree that he ran is very much a DK Metcalf route tree. Like he only ran like posts and go routes a lot in college. And it may take a little bit of time for him to acclimate to a more thorough route tree, which it did for DK. DK really only ran those two routes in college. But now DK can run most routes pretty successfully. And obviously he's a freak athlete. I mean, he's probably the closest thing to Megatron physically that we've seen since Megatron. He's not as talented. But Brian Thomas Jr., you know, he's probably going to go somewhere in the top 15 to 20 picks. He could go to Jacksonville. He could go to Cincinnati. He could go to a franchise quarterback. And for me, that would put him in the conversation right after Rome in your drafts and Bowers. I think he's going to be right there. In that conversation, maybe he goes to Buffalo so he could plop right in and get those Josh Allen targets, franchise quarterback. Like, you know,
I don't want him as a one. I need him as either. He's a great two. He'd be
Shakir's like one. Come on.
Thomas to me would be the masterful T. Higgins one for one. Like you're swapping those two out. Chase is the one. Brian Thomas Jr.
Trade Higgins
two.
To somewhere.
They trade Higgins to Carolina, maybe, because they need all the help they can get. But yeah, trade T and then draft Brian Thomas one for one. I know it hasn't worked out in recent history, like AJ Brown, Treylon Burks. But yeah, like you could probably get a one for T and then you use the one somewhere else and you draft Brian Thomas.
I don't know if you get a one because you got to pay him.
Yeah, but I mean, AJ Brown got a one. I guess he's not AJ Brown. Let's be real.
He's not AJ Brown. Yeah.
No.
At least AJ Brown can like play a whole season.
That's true. But
and
yeah,
I like T. I'm not dogging on him.
Brian Thomas to me, he's still raw. He needs a little more, you know, fine tuning around the edges. He doesn't hand catch as much as I like, but has ability to hand catch.
He had a beautiful hand catch at the pro day. I don't know if you saw it. It was over the top, and he fingertipped it. And I was like, oh, okay.
It feels like when he's contested catching, like, his hands are strong. And that's all I need to see. Like, if as long as he's not doing what, like, at his size, not going up like Quentin Johnson, yeah, I'm okay with that. But, it like, on the easy catches, he will let it come into his body and has some drops. But yeah, it's the route tree thing. And if we haven't learned anything from DK Metcalf, like this guy's talented. He has not played, people forget, he has not played receiver for very long either. He's a guy that just started playing receiver. pretty much was an athlete coming in. And when LSU, I heard this story, LSU gave him a scholarship.
Okay.
LSU.
A little different.
In high school, when he didn't even really play football. He was a basketball guy.
This kid's a freak. He's a fast
guy. He's a basketball player, and that's what he was focused on. Then he's like, oh crap, I should start focusing on football. And then, yeah, here he is as a probably easily a top 20 pick in the NFL
draft. Go in the top 20 for sure. Lock that in.
I like Brian Thomas a lot. There is still one guy I have ahead of him. We will get to him later on. I know people won't like it, probably, but there's a couple people behind me. I know a lot of the footballers. I heard this recently that they are with me on this ranking.
Yeah, we'll talk about him in a minute, but he's a very polarizing prospect to me. Yes. And so is this next guy, the fastest man.
Well, polarizing, like snow, like winter. Is that what are you trying to say, Doug?
I didn't say anything. This next prospect, the fastest man at the combine, 4.21, set the record, beat out
fastest man alive,
John Ross. Woo. Xavier Worthy has a great career at Texas. We'll talk about Adonai Mitchell here shortly. But Worthy was the guy that made that passing offense go. He was the guy. You know, you had Jatavion Sanders at tight end, you had Adonai Mitchell, and then you had Xavier Worthy. He was the most productive out of all three. You know, he's one of these guys that he's very fast, he's very slight. My head always tells me to avoid the really fast guys because history tells us that in the NFL, they get drafted highly and then they never really pan out. Like, how many times we've seen it? We've seen the John Rosses of the world, and you know,
there's one difference between all these players.
Xavier Worthy's a much better football player.
Not only that, his breakout age was 18. All these other guys you're mentioning were one-year wonders.
No, like, you're right.
Jameson Williams, we got John Ross. Yeah, all like
it's going to be hard for me to pull the trigger on Worthy because of
those
pre-existing things. Unless here's the thing. I know a lot of mocks have him going to the Chiefs, and everyone's like, Tyree 2.0, yippee skippy. Like, he's going to go higher than that, okay? Like, the Chiefs would have to trade up to get him, I think.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's just something about that profile that I don't gravitate towards. It's kind of like the, like, Keon Coleman, like, guys that, like, may have a problem separating. The Terrace Marshalls, N'Keal Harrys, like.
It's
hard for me to just step into that void and be like, I'll just take him.
It's hard with Worthy because he's got that elite level speed. But he's also got elite level route running because he uses his speed. Like, people think he's just going to run by, but he alters.
No, he's more of a route runner than these other guys.
Yes, he alters his speed and he can stop on a dime. The size is the concern. Can he be Tank Dell? Tank Dell kind of proved the size concerns, but yeah, it's definitely tough. And landing spot dependent, like, could boost or very well drop his value. If he drops, I would look more into him. But if Kansas City takes him, I think he's out of my grasp. Like, there's a chance if Rome goes to Chicago and he goes to the Chiefs, he's going to go over Rome. Like, there's a good chance that happens.
Yeah, I could see that. Because people are going to be like, oh, he's going to start day one because they need help there.
Yep. But he's a good football player. It's just the size. Like, he's 170-something pounds. And, yeah, like, that worries me.
I mean, people may be more into that because of, like, you know, Tank Dell was an outlier last year, a smaller guy that played bigger than he was, you know. So, I mean, maybe that's the trend, and maybe, you know, I'm going to have a hard time jumping on it, though.
Yeah, Worthy's a very good football player, though. But the thing with Tank is, like, you got him in the second or third. You're going to have to spend a late first, maybe early second, but you're probably looking at a late first round pick.
Yeah, that is very true. Kind of in that Sky Moore 109 area. Yikes. From a few years
back. He's way better than Sky Moore.
Yes, I know he is. I was just using that to be funny. Because he was a 109.
Funny hat.
It was bad. So Worthy, I think, is gonna be interesting to see where he lands up. And you know, his teammate is very polarizing as well in Adonai Mitchell, who, you know, played at Georgia, then he transferred to Texas. An absolute freak. We talked about Brian Thomas being a freak. Mitchell is right up there when it comes to freakiness, and he's going to be a first round pick too. Almost positive that it might be the back end of the first round. but he's a project as well, right, Tyler? Like, he's got a lot of question marks.
He reminds me a lot of George Pickens, but George Pickens, I felt like, was more of a complete player.
Pickens is a dog, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, Mitchell was like admitting to like, yeah, I don't go hard all the time.
He worries me. And his combine wasn't like, he ran fast. I thought his gauntlet was meh. Like, it wasn't as bad as another player we'll mention, but his gauntlet was meh. I don't see it. Like, I don't see a star. Like I said, he reminds me of George Pickens, but if George Pickens was like a little less complete as a player. Like, George Pickens, I think, can do everything. He's just, like you said, he's got a dog and an attitude problem.
He loves the block too.
People look at him in a different light. And I, Mitchell, I think he's going to be one of the guys where I'm just off. He's ultra talented. He went to Georgia as one of a super, super high recruit.
Yeah.
Transferred to Texas because, you know, he didn't like winning. So he
wanted more targets.
He wanted more targets or something. Yeah. To me, I just didn't like the tape. I thought it was inconsistent. Yeah. And when a guy that we're talking about, like, size-wise, like, oh, is the size we worry, is beating the crap out of you for targets, yeah.
His athleticism should have taken over games, and it really didn't.
Yeah,
which
I completely agree.
Which is concerning. So for me, it's like he's – at the next level, he might be those guys that he is the flashy player from time to time, but he's not going to be consistent, and that's – one of the most maddening things you can have on your fantasy roster is a player that you know is talented, but they don't show up week in and week out, and they have these big games once a month. And you're like, great, now I got to try predictor and see when this guy's going to pop off.
If he was in the mid second range in drafts, I would take shots on him, but he's going to be an early second, possibly late first.
He's
going to
get the draft capital.
Yeah. I know Andy Holloway from the Footballers is a huge fan of him. He sees Anquan Boldin in him. I don't see that.
See, I see more of a Boldin, like, in a guy like, see, when you say Boldin, I think, and you say guys like Pickens, those guys were just dogs in the field and gave it all. I don't see that at A.D. Mitchell. Like,
no.
He's much softer than those guys. Like, I don't see Boldin, and Boldin is a very unique, I mean, dude played with a broken face, for Christ's sakes. Like,
yeah.
A.D. Mitchell breaks his nose, he's going to be like, mommy. I don't know. There's something about him. I don't see that. I don't like that comp at all.
I think we're looking at one of those receivers that are drafted late first that were super hyped up. If you go back in the day and look up like draft picks, we're looking at like Michael Jenkins from Ohio State to Atlanta Falcons late first. We're talking N'Keal Harry.
Leonte Carew,
like these guys that are super hyped up just due to a fast 40 and some, and it's sprinkling a little bit of hype. As you can tell, Doug and I are both out on A.D. Mitchell, but
yeah, he'd have to slip for me to even.
You can decide. You know, we could be wrong, but I just didn't see it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go more BC over A.D. in this one.
Before
AD,
Christ.
Yes. And A.D. It's a terrible.
Jeez.
Anywho. Let's talk a little bit about Troy Franklin, who I think is being slept on a little bit. Nope.
I'm out.
You're out on Franklin? Why?
All the way out. He had one of the worst gauntlets I've ever seen. That guy was swerving more than a drunk driver.
So you're going to give up all his really good tape for a 30-second drill?
I didn't think his tape was great either.
Bad process.
I didn't think his tape was great either.
I don't think his tape was that bad.
It was okay. Like, it was better than A.D. Mitchell, which is, I mean, okay, that's saying something. But I think he's going to be another guy that we are going to look at, and he's going to get drafted in the third round of actual NFL draft.
Oh, I think he's going to be a second rounder all day.
No. I think he's really? I think he's a third rounder.
Can we do a water bet that we will never follow up on?
Sure.
I'm going to say Troy Franklin is a – he's not going to get to the third round. Someone will take him in the second.
I think he'll be a third round pick.
All right. Well,
yeah.
That'll make draft Friday night a little bit more fun for
me,
so I'm
not,
all about that.
He did not run the 40 like we thought. And then he said he came up with an excuse saying he was sick the night before and that he was holding bad water weight and all that stuff. Like, it just seems like all these red flags are popping up. All of these red flags at the wrong time for him. Like, I get the offense was great. Bo Nix, throwing down the field 20 yards. Bo Nix, deep ball, 25 yard down the field. Like, That's a shot at Bo Nix, but
I understand. Yeah.
But yeah, I think he's gonna be drafted way higher than I would even be close to touching him.
Okay. He's another guy that would go mid second and you might be interested.
Honestly, he could get pushed down due to what I think is going to be an NFL draft third round pick. Like he could be one of those guys that falls to late second and these running backs.
Interesting. Okay. And these running backs
push him down. It could show value, but I don't even know then I would draft him.
Yeah, I already know who you're holding all your picks for. Like you're going to try to move up in your drafts. You're going to try to get this guy at all costs because you are completely smitten with one Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. And I get the attraction here, but he is going to have to be a pretty big outlier for him to be successful at the NFL level.
So here's my process. There's always one or two players that you look at and you go, it's just right there in front of me. And nobody wants to open their eyes and see it. It happened with Puka last year at the Senior Bowl. He's uncoverable. He left early because he had nothing else to prove. And he tweaked his ankle a little bit. But that's what they said. Puka's agent was like, hey, you're done here. Like, this is it. You have nothing else to prove. You're done here. Ladd McConkey was legit uncoverable at Senior Bowl. Just like Cooper Kupp. Like, I know we're kind of profiling here, but it's so true. These guys like Deebo Samuel, let's go off the rails here. Deebo Samuel is one of those guys at Senior Bowl. Uncoverable.
Yeah, he popped Senior Bowl.
And Deebo went from like a third round rookie pick to a late first. Ladd, I get like, oh, when he was on the field, he was productive, but he wasn't on the field that much. Yeah, that's because Georgia was Brock Bowers and defense. Like that's what they were.
And run the ball.
Yes. So for me, like everything is lining up for Ladd McConkey. Then you watch the tape and you look at the combine and everything lines up. It's right there in front of us. Like this profile's right there in front of us. And everybody's like, he's a white guy. I get he ran a 4.39. He's probably just going to be this type of guy, like a slot only guy. Can't do anything else. You know what? He's not. He's way more than that. He is like, you want to take all these white receiver judgments you have. Good route runner, Ladd McConkey.
Judgments.
Like I'm saying, people profiling like
forget about Jordy Nelson. He wasn't a slot receiver.
Yeah, but Jordy Nelson was a phenomenal route runner. Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey can run a 4.39. He's fast.
He was faster than I thought.
He can get down the field. He can play on the outside. He can play on the inside. He is a guy that is just screaming right there. Like, this guy is going to land on a team. They're going to use him. He's going to be a late first, probably early second trade up.
Probably.
Like, my guess is he's going to be a late first.
He'll go to the Patriots.
He's going to go to, like, he could be the Bills pick. And I think he would match well with the team. Like, he's not going to be the one.
He could be the new
one.
Don Beebe.
But he's going to, he could be the next Andre Reed for the Bills. I know I love Ladd McConkey. Everything he does.
But there's only one rule that we have. If Ladd McConkey doesn't hit, he will forever be known as Ladd McDonkey on this podcast. If he doesn't hit, that's a rule.
All right. But okay. It's been a while with receivers. Justin Jefferson hit for me, but Dante Moncrief is on this hill.
Same.
His bones. Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, we're holding hands on that hill. Dead.
I have Ladd at wide receiver 4, very close to Rome. Like, that's how high I am.
Damn. Okay.
I think he is a phenomenal player, a phenomenal prospect that just didn't get his shine in Georgia that he deserved. Maybe he was the reason why A.D. Mitchell left, because he's like, damn, this white guy's just beating the crap out of me.
I can't pee with Ladd McConkey over here. I like his game. It's just going to be interesting to see his level of success at the NFL level. And I want to see who drafts him because that's going to be important to me. You know, I think if Puka went to other teams, he wouldn't have had the same success.
Oh, I agree.
And I think that, and I'm not calling McConkey this year's Puka because let's stop with that. But you know, they're both physical guys, route runners. You know, McConkey's got the speed. I think a lot of people I've seen mocks with him to the Steelers, which I was like, I kind of dig that. Like, you replace Deontay and put McConkey in there.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
That's not bad. I would like that. I mean, say the Chargers trade back and they draft him at like 23. Interesting. Because say the Vikings trade up.
It's going to be a fun draft night. We're only 2 weeks away, Tyler.
I know, but Ladd to me, I think has the better, like, I think he has the best all-around game in this draft next to Neighbors and the big three. Like, Brian Thomas as a project could be an elite player.
Yeah, I think Ladd, his game translates day one.
Yes, Ladd will be one of those guys that will produce day one, but if he lands on the right team, could produce as a wide receiver, high-end wide receiver too, in the right situation. So that's what I'm looking at. And at the 110, I took him at 112 in a, you know, before NFL draft league. And I'm happy about it because I feel safe. Like, that's what I was like, okay, this guy's safe at 112.
I think McConkie, he's the kind of like that safe floor kind of pick.
Yeah. Like, and in PPR leagues, if you're getting 6 catches for 6 yards, that's a great floor. Like, and he could, nice. And with his speed, he could have 7 for 120 and 2. Yeah. Like that's upside I'm looking at.
Yeah. I'm excited to continue this episode next week because there are so many more wide receivers that are on my radar. And there are some guys that are going to go super late that I am looking to get in the fourth round or later in rookie drafts that I am just kind of salivating that hoping they're going to be there. And we'll talk about them next week. I'm not going to give you any teasers.
Can I just say the one thing I don't like about this rookie class is that I have to say Rome. And every time I say it, I think of Jim Rome.
I could do a segment as Jim Rome. I haven't done my Jim Rome impersonation in a while.
I am Jim Rome.
Now we're going to talk about wide receivers. There was a segment I used to listen to Jim Rome when I lived in New York because Jim New York sports burning. Talk radio is shit. So they do a lot of simulcast stuff, and they had Rome, and there was this soundbite. This guy called in, and he was talking about something. He was going on a tangent, and then he like had like a brain fart, and he's like, global warming, and it was like the funniest thing, and they ran with it for a while. I will try to find the clip and send it to you. It was hilarious, and it made me laugh every time, and that's how I remember Jim Rome. And by the way, I met Jim Rome in Indy at Radio Row. I said hi to him, and that dude is like 5'4".
He's tiny.
Oh my god,
he's Ian Rappaport tiny.
Freaking pocket.
He's Ian Rappaport tiny.
He's Andrew Siciliano tiny
without
the
ears.
The ears make him look.
For all those that you don't know, shocked. That grew up in our time, the time when you watch ESPN, it was Jim Rome, then it was Pardon the Interruption, and then it was hockey or whatever, baseball, whatever
baseball
you're watching
tonight.
That night. But yeah, like it
baseball.
Was Rome, then PTI.
Yeah. To see him in his chair at his desk, he looked like a freaking Oompa Loompa.
Doug Eddy, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Doug Eddy. Yeah, Jim is, he was a tiny little man. I was shocked because I'm 6'4", and I'm like, dude, he talks like he's all tough. I'm like, I could toss this guy across the building.
I don't know what you're talking about, Doug
Eddy. I don't think you could toss me. I don't think it's possible. What are you
all
talking
right.
about? Global warming? So good.
Inside joke.
Yes, I'll make it more of inside when I send it to you. Last shout out of the night goes to Manscaped. Bottom line, go to manscaped.com. They've got some new products on there. Use code DHH. Save 20%. Get yourself shaved and ready. The spring and summer, it was 70 degrees here in Rhode Island today. I wanted to rip my shirt off and just sun my
60
lovely,
degrees here in Minnesota.
I just wanted to sun my lovely pasty white body in the backyard. And you know what? It's easier for the sun to get to your skin when you have less hair. It's just science. So make sure you go on manscaped.com. Use code DHH. Get all the creams, all the shavers. You're going to smell. You're going to taste. You're going to feel great. So manscaped.com, code Tyler, that is going to wrap us up for wide receivers part one. We'll be back next week with wide receivers part two, and we'll sprinkle in a little pass catching tight ends in there as well. Not a very deep class, but we obviously want to talk about Brock Bowers and some of the guys that are behind him in our rankings. So we will cover that all, as well as the weekly news, which if there is any, we'll bring it to you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.